This is a reading from the Gospel according to Matthew, the 6th chapter, verses 7 to 15. Jesus said to his disciples, "In praying, do not babble like the pagans, who think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This is how you are to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. If you forgive the people their transgressions, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive them, neither will your Father forgive your transgressions." The Gospel of the Lord. I can remember so many times over the years preparing class notes to teach something about prayer. And I would normally see this show up on a course syllabus as a one-quarter or a one-semester course, several meeting times a week, thinking to myself, what am I going to say all those different times about prayer when the biblical foundation for our praying is fairly simple and very brief? So, of course, like most teachers, I puttered around until I could figure out different ways to apply what is a very simple truth. The gospel is pretty clear about what praying means and why we should do it. It leads us up to a point where the inevitable question will be asked, whether it's in a classroom or whether it was on the seaside or in some kind of a mountain setting, whether it's now or in the time of Jesus. How do I pray? What do you mean when you say pray? What are you asking me to do? The disciples asked, and we ask. And if we're teachers, we're asking not only for ourselves, but others are asking us to help them as well. We know a couple of things pretty clearly from Jesus about the Lord's Prayer, and that's precisely what he proposes to us as our paradigm for praying. In a sense, he sets out almost a job description for the teacher of prayer and for the one praying. He introduces us to a few background concepts which are either subtly or directly proposed, and then goes in to amplify enough to make it all relatively clear. And I think if it's obscure, it's because we tend to make it obscure. We realize very definitely that we're involved in a relationship with God, in a very intimate relationship, that we understand our role is parallel to a child in a family, where God is the one parallel to the leader of the family. We recognize that there are parts of this prayer given over to praise of God, and there are parts given over to us and our needs. Pretty simple, pretty clear, pretty cut and dry. We also recognize that there are a few things we need to do in order to make our prayer possible and productive. First of all, it needs to be daily. We pray our prayer daily. We don't just drop on our knees when we're in a foxhole, as the old war stories tell, or in other crisis situations. We begin praying when there's a crisis. We pray daily. We also realize that whatever comes to us in prayer comes not because we are owed it due to our very clever and articulate and interesting way of praying. It comes as a gift, that it isn't as though God has standards and then we kind of live up to the standards and our gifts are given accordingly. Our gifts are given because God decides to gift us. We also recognize that we cannot pray effectively for ourselves or for intentions that are important to us that aren't predicated somehow in our concern for the poor. We also have to recognize that we need to believe in mercy. We need to believe that this whole process can happen, that it's realistic, it's doable, as we say. We also finally, in a sense, recognize that intimately involved in our prayer needs to be forgiving others so that we might in turn be forgiven. We are asking for God to give us a kind of a peacemaker's badge, our credentials. And our credentials are bound up simply in that description of prayer. We are, in a sense, licensed, baptized prayer people. And that makes us licensed or prayerful peacemakers. God announces that the life of the Spirit is alive and well, that we can reach God in our intentions. We can reach God with gratitude. We can reach God with asking for help. We can reach God with praise. All of those are part and parcel of our prayer. And then he reminds us how important it is to be rooted in reality. We are really and truly an asking people, a begging people, a highly gifted people, and we are always and everywhere concerned for the poor. That's our kind of identification card, our admission card, as it were. And then we very simply wrap it up, in a sense, by believing in God's mercy and recognizing that part of the criteria for granting forgiveness, in a sense, is to be forgiving of others. Forgive others so that we can be forgiven. And we are forgiven so that we can praise more effectively and preach the good news through our lives and through our words and deeds more effectively. Now, you know, that you could spend a semester on that or a quarter, or you could simply recognize how important it is every time we come to it as we celebrate Eucharist. In this simple way, God tells us through Jesus that I am reachable and you are able to reach me, and here's how to do it. What a wonderful kind of syllabus that I would like to read about my class. You can do this. You can learn something. I promise you that if you follow my directions, you will leave fulfilled. Whether or not it happens in the classroom, it certainly happens when we pray prayerfully and carefully, following God's directives. I hope that our lives generally are reflective of that prayer, and that people will know us because they can see in our prayer and in our actions that image of God working in the world. Blessings to all.